You only lost him?
Oh, okay. No,
she didn't. Very good. Okay, yeah, we'll need some tents. I hope. Okay, I wanna start with a story. Today was the yard site of the Baba Varebi, Kedusha Sion. Rabbi Sion was the second Baba Varebi, and his father, Rabbi Shlomo, was the first Baba Varebi. He was a grandson, the oldest grandson of the Divrei Chaim. From the Divrei Chaim, it's pretty easy to trace the trail straight back to the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh. And today, meaning earlier today, Dalet Av was the art site of the Kedusha Sion. He was killed by the Nazis in Yimach Shom in 1941. And there's a Maisa that I once heard that it was before the war, and it was Hanukkah. And he was sitting with his grandson, Naftali. Naftali became the fourth Baba Rebbe. The famous Baba Rebbe that everyone knows, the pictures of the smiling Baba Rebbe with the beautiful, you know, the beautiful payas. That was the third Baba Rebbe. So that's the Kedusha Sion's son who survived the war and rebuilt Baba Chassidus in America. But his father, the Kedusha Sion, who died al Kiddush Hashem, Hashem Yimkom Damo, was sitting with his grandson of Naftali. It was Hanukkah time. They were playing dreidel, like a grandfather should do with his grandchild if he's so fortunate. So little Naftali spins gimel, takes the pot, and they replenish, spins again, hey, spins again, and his grandfather covers over the dreidel, puts his hand on top of the dreidel. And he says to his grandson, he says, Naftali, Naftulchuk, you have to understand, it's not so important what the dreidel lands on. Sometimes it's a gimel, sometimes it's a hay. I don't know from the story, it's unclear, did he see that it was one of the less fortunate letters? That's why he covered it over very quickly. But he says to his grandson, he says, it's not so important what the dreidel lands on. The ikker, the main thing is that you pick it up and you spin it again. And clearly he was foreshadowing the fact that he would die al Kiddush Hashem, that he wouldn't survive. But Torah would survive, and Baba Chassidus would survive, and Klal Yisrael would survive. And he was being meramis in that one day you're going to have to become the Rebbe, and you're going to have to dust off all the pain of Galus, and try to go weiter, to try to continue to push ahead. And I feel like that's the Hanukkah story. We can maybe make Hanukkah and Beinu Mitzarim connections for another time. But I think it really is a Beinu Mitzarim story. Because the Ikar by Klal Yisrael, when you come to these days, we're trying to figure out how we're going to go weiter, as we're preparing for another Tisha B'Av, 1,949 years into Galus. So the main thing is, okay, so we said last year we're going to bring the Gula, and we didn't. But the Ikar is to pick up the dreidel, so to speak, and to spin again, and to try one more time. To try to come to Tisha B'Av and say, you know what, I've done this a lot of times, and I can kind of just go through the motions, and I can get involved in all sorts of craziness during the 9 days where people are ki'ilu. The more important thing is how am I going to survive without meat, as opposed to how am I going to survive without a base of mikdash, which seems to be the trend in social media these days. All right, so I can totally lose myself in just, you know, the uncomfortable nature of these days, and I could just push through these days. I want to get it over with quickly, and then get back to whatever I like to do, get back to my summer vacation. Right, or I could say, you know what, we have an opportunity to spin the dreidel again. Opportunity to try again, to move the marker forward a little bit, to get that much closer to the possibility of Mashiach. Pasuk says in this week's parsha, "Rav lechem sov esahar ezeh pnu lechem tzafona." There's a beautiful Torah from the Majid Sarebi, from the Yisa Bracha. He actually quotes from Rabbi Nachman of Breslov. Rabbi Nachman has a famous teaching in the Sichos Haran. He says that the Yitzhara, I always picture it like, you know, like the Pied Piper of Hamelin. Right? The Pied Piper, the Maisa, was holding the Pied Piper. The Pied Piper was paid to, with his magical flute, whatever instrument he had, to get the rats out of the neighborhood. And he would play his flute, and the rats would all come streaming out of the homes. And he would remove these, you know, disease-infested rats, and he would march them off into the river, and he would save people from all sorts of tsaras. But you have to pay. You have to pay the rat catcher. Right? You have to pay the Pied Piper.
I mean, when he used to be a wrestler with a similar name.
Oh yeah, what was his name?
I don't know. Anyone remember?
So how do you know it's him if you don't remember his name? So the Maisa goes that the community wasn't paying the Pied Piper. So he said, okay, fine. He says, I'll use my magical flute to get revenge. And he played his magical flute, and all the children of those people who didn't pay their dues were led away. He took away. It's a pachad of a story. It's like not something to put your children to sleep with. Yeah, so that's how the Pied Piper, right? He led these children off to nowhere. He kidnapped these children. I always picture this mashal from Rabbi Nachman Lahavdil, maybe not Lahavdil, as this idea. Rabbi Nachman says, what's the Yitzhar like? Yitzhar comes to each person, and he has his hand closed like this. And he says, I have something that you really, really desire. Would you like to see it? And everyone's, drooling over it. And one by one, he goes to each person, he lines them up, and he shows each person, I have exactly what you need. Whatever it is that's lacking in your life, whatever you feel that you need would give you, shleimus in your life, simcha in your life, I have it. And you picture throngs of Jews throughout history, Rahon al-Tzan, chasing after the Yitzhar, wanting to see what's in the hand. And I always picture the scene, the Yitzhar gathers everyone, to the town square, and everyone's standing there, and everyone thinks the Yitzhar is exactly what they need. And so the Yitzhar, of course, opens his hand, and it's empty. And all the time, and all of the energy, and all of the anticipation, all wasted on empty taivas that never satisfied in the way the Yitzhar promised. So says the Majid Sarabi, maybe with this Torah from Rabbi Nachman, we can understand the pasuk. Rav lachem sov esahara zepnu lachem tzafona. A person could get caught, as the pasuk describes here, as Klai Yisrael are trying to figure out how to get to Eretz Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to them, Rav lachem sov esahara zepnu, it's enough going around the mountain, it's time to turn to the north, and time to start heading in the right direction. But says the Majid Sarebi, a person can get, this could be the har. The Yitzhara, the Gemara tells us in Sukkah Daf Nun Beis Aleph, that the Yitzhara, at the end of days, is compared to a big mountain. So Rav lachem sov esahara, you can get caught on the outside of the har, so to speak. You can be still living in the world of Dimyon, where the Yitzhara hasn't displayed the falsity of his claims to you. Pnu lachem tzafona could be understood, the Majid Rebbe says it more, al derech, turn towards the Yetzer Tov, Rav lach tu v'asher tzafanta l'reacha, turn towards the source of good, and you'll find something truly inside. But tzafon is also milas on tzafun. Tzafun like the afikoman, which we hide away. Right? Rav lachem tzov esahara zeh, don't get caught on the outside, pnu lachem tzafona means turn inward. Don't get caught up in the superficiality of everything in life. Turn inwards. Svasemis says, when the Torah says, Lo sasur achrei levavchem achrei nechem, don't be deceived by your eyes, it's not only talking about, don't look at things that a Jew shouldn't look at. It means don't be fooled by the superficiality of all of reality. Pnu lachem tzfona, Lo sasur achrei levavchem achrei nechem, don't let your physical eyes deceive you. Don't look at it as another 9 days where we have to just go through the motions and we come out, losers again with a shin on our dreidel. Right, let's try to win. Let's try to approach it, and the way to do that is pnu lachem tzfona, to turn inward. To decide to take the Yetzer Hara head on, and what we're really going to speak about tonight, to take a Kadosh Baruch Hu head on. To really encounter a Kadosh Baruch Hu face to face, mamish head on. I'll just tell you b'derech remes. The Svarim HaKadoshim say that the gematria of the four galios, what are the four galios? Mitzrayim, we don't count Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim is the shorish of all of galus. What are the four galios? What are the four galios? We start counting from Bavel, right? Madai, Parasu Madai, that's Purim. Bavel was formed by Bayis Rishon, Parasu Madai. Madai is Purim, is the in-between between Bayis Rishon and Bayis Sheni. Right? Then Yavan, that's formed by Bayis Sheni. And it's the first Korban of Bayis Sheni, right? It's about the midway point of Bayis Sheni, the Hanukkah story. And then there's Edom, Galus. Edom is where we find ourselves today for 1,949 years. So the Svarim HaKadoshim say that if you add up the gematria of Bavel plus Madai plus Yavan plus Edom, it's gematria Har. And Svarim talk about what that means in different contexts. But in context of our pasuk, Rav lachem sov esahara zeh, a person could get caught up, right, on the outside of the Har. You could still be like, navigating galus mivachutz, as opposed to saying, I'm not okay with galus. I don't like galus anymore. P'nu lachem tzfona, I'm going to do something to wrap this up. That's the remez the Svarim HaKadoshim brings. I'll tell you remez I had today. Kadosh Baruch Hu gave me a remez today. I like a mattress. The galus that we find ourselves in now, the one that's been schlepping on the longest, the one that the Medrash says, the very beginning of Medrash Rabbah, that the world was tohu, vavohu, vachoshech, al panei sahom. The Medrash says those four negative expressions correspond to the four galus. Medrash and Bereishis Rabbah. Tohu is Bavel, and Bohu is Madai. Choshech, of course, is Yavan, that's Hanukkah, dark versus the light. And the galus we're in today is tahom. Tahom means the depths, the deep, dark, bottomless ocean. That's galus Edom, where it's hard to see the end in sight. So the Medrash associates the word tahom with Edom. Now it happens to be that in the writings of the Arizal, and it's really already alluded to in a Medrash in Pirkei d'Rabbi Eliezer, the final Galus that we're in today is not only Edom, but if you've, you know, read the news recently, if you pay attention to what's happening in Eretz Yisrael and around the world, right? There's another enemy that's dominating the world. Edom, who's Edom? Edom's Christianity. Edom's Rome. Edom's Christianity. Edom's Western culture. Right? Edom is destroying Jews by assimilating Jews. There's another way to destroy Jews, and that's by blowing up our buses and stabbing us in the back. That's Yishmael. So Yishmael is also, as Sfarim say, it's, again, it's already alluded to in the Medrash, that Yishmael is the combination of Edom and Yishmael is really the final gullus. Combination of Christianity and Islam with Klal Yisrael sandwiched in the middle, and again, you don't have to be an expert in, you know, world events to see how precisely HaKadosh Baruch Hu has set the stage for this final showdown, which Amir Tashem, with safe passage, we should wrap up soon. So Rav Lechem, so if it's a Harazeh, you can get stuck on the outside of the mountain, right? And that's how we sometimes get stuck, especially in the final gullus. But the pasuk says, "Pnu lachem tzfona." Turn inwards. Try to become more serious and try to wrap it up. What's the gematria of "Pnu lachem tzfona"? So the Sfarim say that the word "tahom," which we said is a code word for Edom in the Medrash, "tahom" is gematria 451, is gematria Yishmael. So really, "tahom," that word that the Medrash says hints to Edom, which is the final gullus, also hints to Yishmael, which is also the final gullus, because Yishmael is gematria 451. Pnu lachem tzafona, tzafona spelled the way it's spelled in the pasuk without the vav, is also 451. So the pasuk is saying, stop being. This gullus just drags on and on and on and on. It's the longest one, and it was predicted from the beginning it's going to be long, but it's not okay. It's not okay for us to just, you know, to be makabalit and just get used to it. Pnu lachem tzafona means let's get serious. Let's have a few real minutes on Tisha B'Av, of real focus on what it means to be connected to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and how disconnected we are without a Beis HaMikdash, a place where a person could, you know, Re'iyah, Makom of Re'iyah, right? A place where a person comes Aliyah L'Regel to see and to be seen, as the Gemara says at the beginning of Chagiga. Gam ki elach begeit samavis. The pasuk says in Tehillim, in the second source. Gam ki elach begeit samavis, when a Jew is walking in the gates of Mavis, which I think is a good description for these days, lo ira ra, he shouldn't fear ki ati imati. A Jew understands that a Kadosh Baruch Hu can be found even in these days. That I can walk with a Kadosh Baruch Hu, ki ata imadi, that you're with me, that you're standing by my side, Kadosh Baruch Hu. That Hashem is begging us to partner with Him in wrapping this up. A person who walks in that way has nothing to fear. Then he can confront God. He doesn't feel outmanned. By the fact that Christianity and Islam combined certainly outnumber us in a very significant way. But you open up the Torah and you see the Torah said we're going to be the smallest of nations, and that's okay. But I have the secret weapon. Gam ki elach begeit salmavis. I'm living in scary times, but lo yirah, I don't have to worry about anything. Ki ati madi, because the Kodesh Baruch Hu is standing with us, and that's the avodah of these days, to be able to say ki ata imadi, to be able to view ourselves as really, really being with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. That's really almost the test of galus. Are you still going to feel connected to a Kodesh Baruch Hu amidst all the hester upon him? Or are you going to say, well, Hashem kind of ditched us, so we're going to kind of ditch him? You stopped paying attention to us, so we're going to stop paying attention to you. What does it mean to be able to really say ki ati imadi? What does it mean to really feel that you're with Hashem? You know, you have to be like the guy in Ushpizin in the forest, you know? You have to be a Breslev Chassid who does a couple hours of his bodhis a day to be able to ki ati imadi. What does it mean to be with Hashem? What does it mean to talk to Hashem? We've spent so many hours of our life in shul. How many of those can we say are really ki ati imadi? That I feel that I'm conversing with the Creator of the world, who actually does decide if I get the raise or if I lose my job, or if I have children or if I don't have children, or if I get the shidduch or I don't get the shidduch, right? Or if I have shalom bias or I don't have shalom bias, or if I have health or I don't have health. That's all. HaKadosh Baruch Hu controls all of that. And people are looking for segulas and different ways to, you know, to beat the system. And Hashem says, come on, let's talk straight. Tisha B'Av, let's sit down. All right, we'll sit on the floor together, you know? You watch like two little children who are playing together, right? They don't like bring over chairs and sit and play. They sit on the floor together. No, it's like the most simplistic friendship. Two little kids playing on the floor together. So Hashem says, come on, let's sit on the floor together. Let's sit on the floor together and let's talk this out. Right? Let's be real. Let's pretend we actually know each other. Mesilas Yisharim describes, Amchal describes, Yiras Hashem, Yiras Haromas. These are going to be different levels of how a person advances in the relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. And he writes, I'll read where it's bolded, in source number 3. He says, the way that a person can really make contact with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaEchad, Shu O made mamish lefnei abori yisbarach shemo v'nosei v'nosei imo. The same way when you're talking to a person, you're doing business with someone, right? And you're negotiating with them, and you need to pay attention to their body language. But no, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't have a body, so I can't pick up on that. Right? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't really seem to be talking back to me, so I can't pick up on that. But I have to at least position myself that I'm nosei v'nosei imo, that I'm negotiating with them, that I'm talking it out, that I'm petitioning for things. Even though my eye deceives me, don't be tricked as fast as by your eyes. And it's one of the hardest things in the world because Hashem, I've never heard him, I've never seen him, I've never really made contact with him, I've never touched him. My senses deceive me completely. So how am I supposed to truly say Kiati Imadi? How am I supposed to live like that? I'm not mishu baal seichel nachom, but if my mind is in the right place, but ma'atis bonus v'sim aslev, if I'm serious about connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, yuchal lekvoa beliba amitas hadavar echuba v'nosi v'nosi mamish imo yisbarach. He keeps using the word mamish because that's how it has to be. Mamasha, something of substance you can touch, you can feel, something that's real. Ulafanav hu mischanin mitohu mavakish. It's from him who I petition, who from him who I seek. V'hu yisbarach. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is listening to me. Hashem is listening to every single word. Not a word I say is in vain. Kasher, and now this is the line I want to focus on. Kasher yedaber ish el re'eyu, v're'eyu makshiv shomei elav. To talk to Hashem with the simplicity and the wholesomeness and the feeling of being comfortable, the way one talks to a dear friend. There's no awkwardness. It's not uncomfortable. It's not your boss who you have to, you know, you have to ask for a raise and it's so awkward and you're planning the speech a million times. Just talk straight, Hashem says. Talk to me like a friend. Is that an appropriate way to describe our relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu? Avinu, Malkeinu. Kadosh Baruch Hu has a lot of different titles and a lot of different relationships. Do we describe Hashem as a friend? Is that appropriate? Right? I'm sure some Rebbein, if you told some, you know, if you said you feel like Hashem is your friend, someone would say to you, is that... It's not proper to call Hashem your friend. Hashem's not your friend. Hashem's God. He's not your friend. He's not your buddy. You know? You see today. You see the whole landscape. Chazal have an understanding how the yira that a person has for a Rebbe is modeled after the yira that a person has for Hashem. Right? That was Rabbi Akiva's drasha. To fear es Hashem Elokecha. Right? Who do you, S always comes to include something. Who do I fear in addition to Hashem? You fear Talmidei Chachamim. And yet you see today, you know, you see today, like in so many schools and yeshivas, you see there's like a buddy-buddy relationship sometimes between Talmidim and the Rebbeim. And sometimes like the older Rebbeim get very like upset when they see that, you know? When they see like a Talmud put his arm around the Rebbe, like he's not your friend, your Rebbe's not your friend. But if your Rebbe is supposed to be a miniature version of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and he's talking about Yiras Hashem. Mesiyas Hashem is talking about Yiras Hashem and says you should talk to Hashem like a friend. Right? So that Rebbe who says Hashem is not your friend is wrong. He's wrong. It's a pasuk in Mishlei. Hashem is your friend. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is your friend. Hashem is also Avinu. He's also Malkeinu. And both those relationships might be more formal, but Hashem is your friend. And a person has to develop a language of speaking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu kasher yedaber ish el re'ehu in the most comfortable way. Says the pasuk in Mishlei. Re'acha v'rei avicha al tazov. Re'acha, your friend, v'rei avicha, and your father's friend, al tazov, do not abandon. Says Rashi, who's re'acha, who's your friend? Rashi says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Who's re'a avicha, who's your father's friend? Who's your father? Your father's Avram Avinu, the Avos. Who is a friend to Avram Avinu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Hashem is your friend. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is your friend. And therefore, the same way that a person speaks to his friend, a person speaks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Re'acha, Hashem is your friend. V're'a avicha. If you could say b'derech drush, re'a avicha, even in Chodesh Av, in a time when it seems like Hashem is certainly not my friend. Maybe the time when Hashem pushes us away more than ever. Right? But Hashem says, even in Chodesh Av, re'a avicha, I'm still your friend in Av. And even in Chodesh Av, I still want to be your friend. And I want to sit down. I want to stop with the superficial talk. Right? About Golas and Geula, and you say, Ani Mamin, you know, B'vias HaMashiach. You're not mamon b'vias Mashiach. You don't really mean that. You don't really want Mashiach to come. You're in the middle of closing on a house in some nice neighborhood, you know? So you're not looking to pack your bags and head to Yerushalayim quite yet. I was talking to a Jew in Muncie the other week. And I said to him, you know, okay, so Mirtz Hashem, you know, next time we see each other, it'll be in Yerushalayim. So he says to me, first Lake George and then Yerushalayim. I was like, what do you mean first Lake George? He's like, oh, I'm going on vacation with my family. So first Lake George, like, it's all planned. We're really excited. Everyone's really pumped for this trip. First Lake George, and then I'll meet you in Yerushalayim. I was like, no, with those type of conditions, we'll never get to Yerushalayim. Mm-hmm. If it's always like one more stop, you know? Oh, we'll go, like, we'll take the long route. No, it's time to turn inward and to wrap up this galus. I need to talk to Kodesh Baruch Hu face to face. I want to learn two pieces together from the Kodesh Tzermach. So in this past week's Haftorah, Yirmiyah HaNavi is lamenting the fact, is complaining terribly about the fact that the Jewish people are interested in basically everything but a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Omer Mla'et, in source number 5, Omer Mla'et Avi Ata. You say to the wood, you say to idols of Eitz, of wood, you're my father. Ula Evan, you turn to stone and you say, At Yiliditanu, you gave birth to us. Kifanu Eli Oref Velopanim, because you've turned your back on me and not your face. You don't face me anymore. Uve Eser, awesome, Yom, but when you're in trouble, all of a sudden you come running to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, Kuma Voshin, Hashem, save us. Ah, so Hashem says, what about all your Vodazara? Eitz Ve'Evan. Va'aye Elohecha Asher Asisalach. Where are the gods that you made for yourself? Yakumu. Im Yoshiucha Be'Israel Asecha, let them rise up if they're able to save you. Ki mispar arecha hayu alochecha Yehuda, because like the number of your cities, so are your gods. You have all sorts of gods, so go turn to your many gods. What, they're not helping you? Now you come crawling back to me. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, you've exhausted all the options. You're so scared of that guy in North Korea, so now all of a sudden you decide to talk to me, Hashem says. You finally got scared, because you heard enough news report, the missiles are getting longer, Rachmana Litzlan. Right? It's no longer so safe in America anymore. Right? Terrorist attacks around the world. So now Hashem says, oh, now you come running back. Until now, you were very comfortable. You never bothered. You had all sorts of avodah zaras. You had all sorts of other things that you believed in much more than me. So Hashem says, where have you been? You turned your back on me and you didn't face me. What's the obvious question on the words of the Navi? The Kodesh Tzermag, the Avodas Yisrael, writes in last week's Haftorah, in his writings in last week's Haftorah, if a person turns their back, then obviously they're not facing. The pasuk where it's bolded that I gave in source 5 is repetitive. Kifanu elai oref, you turned your back on me, right? Velo panami, you didn't face me. Nope. Seems a little repetitive. So he says a very, very chashuv yesod in a couple of words. He writes in source number 6. Vihine alashon kaful oref velo panim. Kimi hayedua misha pona oref hu omid befana vel tzad acher. If I'm not facing you, if my back is to you, if I've turned my neck to you, then I'm not facing you. Eliyish lomar de romis bezeh, hagam sha'omdim lefanai va'omrim tehilos u'tfilos kamo baruch ata. You could be the type of person who goes to shul 3 times a day. You could learn b'chavrusa every single day. Right? You could ostensibly, superficially be talking to Hashem many times a day, and I can build many hours of godly interaction. Right? But when you say baruch ata, shu amira lenochach, when you're talking directly to me, so to speak, when the words themselves mean baruch ata, I'm saying you, Hashem, I'm talking to you, kasher yadav isha re'eyu, talking straight, avali bambal imam, but your heart's not really there. You're already at work while you're still putting on your tefillin, when you're just starting davening. You're already thinking about how much traffic you're going to get stuck in on the way to work. Va'oza inyan v'chuna kipanu elai oref gamkein. So, says the Kodesh Tzermagid, there's two types of turning your back on Hashem. There's mamash turning your back on Hashem. And then there's being in shul, where superficially you're facing Hashem, but it's low panim. You're not really facing Hashem. You've built the hours, so to speak, but we haven't had one real conversation in the last 10 years. The hainu b'zman shem afilu omdim lefanai, v'lo mechuvanim lefanim. I lefnim, or lefanim. You're not facing me. And even when you seem to be doing something and you have a moment of connectivity, all of a sudden you're patting yourself on the back. Ki'ilu, it came from you. Mispar arecha Yehuda. Right? Like the pasuk says, like the pasuk concludes, all the cities that you've built are your gods. You constantly take credit for what? For arecha, which of course means, again, your cities, but it also means, right, your hisorus. That even those times you connected, you should still say, it's not me. But you're so quick those times when you do feel connected. Yeah, I worked hard to connect to you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We have nothing. We have nothing of our own. And therefore we should come to shul humbled and embarrassed before HaKadosh Baruch Hu to talk to him, again, with sincerity. without all the formalities, to just be very real with HaKadosh Baruch. And the Navi laments the fact, again, the Haftorah that we read, this past Shabbos, says, you're not doing that. And therefore, it's not a surprise that when you're not facing HaKadosh Baruch, you're going to get stuck in galus. I want to share a positive vina hafachu, I think, of this vart from the Kashrut Zermagid. Because if we could doubly turn our back on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, everything, you have to realize, everything that a Jew experiences that's negative is always a bracha in disguise. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is only good. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's whole essence is tov. And therefore, everything that appears bad is really a bracha in disguise. Different ways you could say it. The Rechaim HaKadosh many times says, if it's bad, it's from you, it's not from Hashem. It's our fault. Hashem doesn't know how to do anything bad. But you could also say even deeper in a certain sense that, no, even when it is bad, and something bad, something that we would label as bad, the Holocaust is bad. I'm not going to explain to you, because I can't, how the Holocaust is good. But I think as believing Jews, we have to believe that if Hashem did it, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can explain how it's good. I would never have the chutzpah, you know, and God forbid, you know, those rabbis who think that they can offer explanations for the Holocaust and tragedies of Klal Yisrael, we don't know. But from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, nothing bad happens. Nothing bad emerges. Which means that even in this double hastara, so to speak, when we turn our back on Hashem in this double way, that orev v'lo panim, there's a bracha in disguise. There's always a bracha in disguise. Whenever there's midas adin on the surface, there's a bracha in disguise. So what's the bracha in disguise? This week was the yard site, another yard site. I've quoted quite a few times from people whose yard sites were this week, and also they died al Kiddush Hashem. I told you the story from the Kedusha Sion, whose yard site was today. 2 days ago was the yard site of Rav Shimshon Miastropoli. Rav Shimshon Miastropoli was killed in 1648 at the massacres of Tachvatat. He died al Kiddush Hashem in a very unbelievably tragic and powerful way. He was a big mekubal, a very big tzaddik. We have a little bit of his writings. And I saw this actually quoted in the Chumash that Penina Mishulchan Gavah on Parshas Vayelech, explaining another place of a double turning our back on Hashem, or maybe where Hashem turns his back twice on us. Mida k'neged mida. Where's that? Va'anochi. What does the pasuk say? Va'anochi hastir astir panai. That Hashem says I'm going to hide my face. Hastir astir, a double hastara. Yeah. Va'filu ba'astara. Knows the song these days, right? But says Rav Shimshon Miastropoli, I'll tell you. How even when a Kadosh Baruch Hu doubly hides himself, there's a bracha in that. There's a Rashi in Yeshaya that says, you want to know what the scariest pasuk in Tanakh is? It's that pasuk. This pasuk about Nochi Haster Aster is the scary. The Rashi in Yeshaya says there is no more frightening word in the Torah, line in the Torah, than the pasuk in Parshas Vayelech where Hashem says, I'm going to hide myself to such a degree that it's going to be a double hastara. So Shimshon Miastropoli says, I believe that every word of Torah is a bracha in disguise, and he set out to try to explain every pasuk. He couldn't explain this pasuk. So he did what we're talking about tonight. He asked Hashem to help him. He was honest. He said, Hashem, I need your help. I don't understand the bracha in this pasuk. It seems like the ultimate klala. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu opened his eyes, and he found an explanation. Look at the explanation. Here's what he says. We'll read from the fourth line in source number 7. Hanavi Yeshaya Omer, in the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ketshuva l'tayna sion azavani Hashem, v'Hashem shecheichani. When we say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you've abandoned us. You ran away from us. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I never forgot about you. What do you mean? Hein al kapayim chakosich. I carved you, I engraved you, I tattooed you onto the palm of my hand. That's what the words mean. Hein al kapayim, on the palm of my hand, right? Chakika, you've been engraved. I engraved you onto my hand. So it says, V'Hashem shemastropoli, an insight that HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealed to him. Ratzalomar Shemeachar Shechachak as Shem Yerushalayim Al-Kapav. The pasuk really talking about Yerushalayim, right, which is Klal Yisrael in place. Harehu Tamid Lenegdo. I'll never forget you. You're on the palm of my hand. You're always in front of me. You're mamish in the palm of my hand. That's a very sweet lashon to carry someone in the palm of your hand. It means to provide for them in a great sensitivity and gentleness. So Hashem says, I'll never forget you. So here's the problem. Says Rav Shimshon Miastropoli, Baram, halo al eis achor banemar heishiv achor yumino. The problem is that b'shas achorban, we're going to read, hopefully we'll read it in a happy tune, because Eicha also is a megillah of simcha, unfortunately not yet, but eventually every pasuk will be transformed into a bracha. But we say in Megillah Eicha, we lament the fact that again, heishiv achor yumino, that Hashem, you took your right hand, where we're engraved, where Yishalayim is engraved, where Klai Yisrael is engraved, and you put it behind your back, where you can't see it. That's terrible. But when Hashem puts his hand behind his back, you know what happens next? Hashem says, even when I put my hand behind my back, I'm going to hide myself away from you. I'm going to turn my face away. So what happens if Hashem turns his head? So now he can see the hand again. The hand that's behind his back that's hidden, if Hashem now turns his face, now he's facing the hand again. He's facing the hand that's behind his back. Klomer sheyisov es panav lachor. So the hand's behind Hashem's back, and Hashem's face is behind, is so to speak, facing backwards. V'kevet shepanav lachor v'gam yad yimino hechzer lachor im kein tova gedola titzvach lanu mikach. So when Hashem turns away his face, he says, oh, now we're really lost. No, Hashem's turning back towards that hand that has Klal Yisrael, that has Yerushalayim, that has all our hopes and dreams engraved upon it. Sheshuv tia Yerushalayim neged panav, and Yerushalayim will never be forgotten. So that's really the bracha, and the double hastar of Anochi Haster Astir. And that's even the bracha that comes out of the times that we turn ourselves away from Hashem in a double way. Right? That there's Oref v'lo panim, that we turn our back, right? And even when we're facing Hashem, we're really turned away from HaKadosh Baruch. But maybe in some backwards kind of way, we meet up with HaKadosh Baruch. And all that backwardsness, that's where we meet up with HaKadosh Baruch. Kishem, just as Mishenichlas Adar, Marbin Besimcha, so too Mishenichlas Av, Mimatin Besimcha. What's the common denominator? What's the Kishem? The Kishem is Vinahafachu. Purim is the Yant of Vinahafachu, but Tisha B'Av is also complete Vinahafachu. Tisha B'Av is Mashiach. The Medrash says clearly Mashiach is going to be born on Tisha B'Av. We have to look at these days with deep eyes. You can't approach it with superficial eyes. You have to look at every word of Megillas Eicha, the way Rav Shimshon Yashtrapoli looked at the most broken words of the entire Tanakh, and he saw something positive inside of it. We have to look at the opportunity to come to a Tisha B'Av with a sense of not, oh, I can't lift up my head and I'm sitting on the floor crying. No, I'm sitting on the floor and I'm playing with my dear friend, the Kodesh Baruch Hu. And we're talking, and we're negotiating, we're trading baseball cards, you know? I'll trade a few averos, I'll trade in a couple of averos, I'll stop doing averos, and you trade in a little gula, right? And we'll march together to Yerushalayim. But if it's not going to be real, if it's going to be, even when I'm facing you, I'm not even talking to Hashem. If the times that I'm learning, and I'm not even aware of Hashem, the times that I'm davening, I'm not even aware of Hashem, then for sure, there's no way. And there's no Pnu Lachem Tzafona. And therefore, 451, Galas Edom, Tahom, Gematria 451, Yishmal 451, Pnu Lachem Tzafona 451, it continues. And we sit here till we hit year 6,000. That's nothing that any of us want.
Is the perspective on Tisha B'Av kind of now shifting from, are you lamenting the fact that Bismarck just destroyed, people were killed, shifting from that to lamenting that we must have done something for that to be caused, as opposed to the actual sad event is the we cause it.
Part of it's taking the achrayus, right? Part of being able to talk it out with Hashem is to, you know, is to take real achrayus for what we did wrong, and to give a sincere apology, and to really believe what Chazal say in the Yerushalmi, that if the Beis Mikdash is not built in your times, then you destroyed it. There's a part of us that doesn't feel, I had nothing to do with this. I wasn't there. I didn't destroy the Beis Mikdash. Right? Sinas Chinam. I don't have so much Sinas Chinam. I'm a nice guy. I said, this is not my problem. This is our problem. This is mamash our problem. And every year that goes by, it becomes more a problem, because that means like, we had another chance to spin the dreidel, land on Gimel, and all we can spin is Shin. But we have to be positive. We have to keep spinning and keep saying, okay, let's keep trying. Right? Let's try to move forward. Let's try to make it happen. But yeah, for sure, we have to, part of it is changing the perspective of just crying over the Beis Hamikdash and saying, let's do something about it. Let's have a few real minutes on Tisha B'Av where I'm going to do something about it. Chazal described the moment of the Churban, what it looked like when the enemies went into Kodesh Kadash. A famous Torah from different tzaddikim, contrasting the Gemara in Bava Basra and the Gemara in Yom. What does it say in Bava Basra? The Gemara in Bava Basra is trying to figure out how did the Kruvim position themselves in Kodesh Kadash? Because we have conflicting psukim. You have a pasuk in Chumash. You have a pasuk in Chumash that says Upneim Ish El Achiv, right? That the Kruvim were facing each other, and you have a pasuk in Devarim that says Upneim Labayis. So the Gemara in Bava Basra says it's not a problem. Kan bizman she Yisrael osin ritzono shomakom. Kan bizman she ein Yisrael osin ritzono shomakom. Bava Basra 99a. Tzadi Tesum Alef. If Jews are good, the Kruvim are facing each other. If Jews are bad, the Kruvim turn away from each other. Now the truth is, B'derech HaPshat, we should just know the Metzias, you look in the Gemara and Bava Basra, and you look at the Mefarshim there, the Kruvim actually weren't really facing each other. Right? The Kruvim, it's Machlokas Rishonim, were they facing towards the west or towards the east? But the Kruvim were side by side. So facing each other means they were looking over, you know, looking over their shoulder at each other, so to speak. Okay, so that was good. And if they weren't looking at each other, that was bad. What's strange is that the Gemara in Maseches Yoma says that when Klal Yisrael came, Aliyah L'Regel, and they got a glimpse of what was going on in Kodesh Kedashim, they lift up the Paroches, they saw the Kruvim, they were Me'urim Zebezet, they were intertwined. They were holding on to each other. Okay, that makes sense. Atam Aliyah L'Regel, it's a Mikdash Karbanos, Klal Yisrael, the way it's supposed to be, Gevaldik. Says Rish Lakish, says Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, where it's bolded in source number 9, Yom and Dalad, but Aleph, Bishosh Nichlasu Nachon Lehechel, Ro, Kruven, Mu'urin, Zebezeh. When the enemies came in to destroy the Beis HaMikdash, they also saw the Kruven were hugging each other, embracing one another. How could that be? The Gemara Bavasa said, when Klai Yisrael are in a good state, that's when the Kruven look at each other. They're certainly not going to be hugging one another, as the Gemara says, like a Zachar's love for an Akeva. Right, an intimate embrace. That's what this is. Right, this is not a friendly hug. This is an intimate embrace of a husband and a wife. So how could that be taking place at the time of the Churban? How could such a thing be? The Rimi Gash brings an explanation from his Rebbe. He says, my Rebbe said that the reason this was so that the enemies of Klal Yisrael would be able to mezalzel. Right, this is part of the Churban. That normally, to see the Kruvim looking at each other or even embracing would be a gevaldic sign of the Ava that Hashem has for us. But at this time, right, this was going to just become the laughing stock of our enemies. So they're going to take out the Kruvim and they're going to make jokes about what they saw there. But then the Rimi Gash says, I have a different pshat. That's what my Rebbe said, but I have a different pshat. I don't think that's the pshat. I think just the opposite. I think HaKadosh Baruch Hu was saying to Klal Yisrael, at the time of the Churban, even at the time of the Churban, look how much I love you. That Dafka, at that moment of unbelievable Churban, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I love you so much.
Sometimes when we're at our lowest point, we need that hug.
Exactly. That's exactly what it is. And that's how I want to say it, right? I think to say it like that. I mean, the Rishonim were saying that it's an expression of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's love even in the time of Churban. I think it's more than that. Right? I think it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu being mechazik us on how to get back to Him. Hikdim refuah lamaka. HaKadosh Baruch Hu in His kindness always gives us the medicine before the illness. We're about to experience a tremendous illness called galus. Hashem says, if you want to end the galus, we got to come face to face again. We got to embrace again. We can't be back to back anymore. Right? Rosh Hashanah Poldi will come with a nice var to say, if my hand's behind my back and I turn my head, then we're still facing each other. But that's not the way it's supposed to be. We're supposed to be embracing each other. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is our friend. HaKadosh Baruch Hu came into Galus with us. He gave us that hug because He's coming with us. He's holding on to us. The Gemara says in Megillah, Daf Chav Tesem and Aleph, that wherever Klal Yisrael go, the Shekhinah comes with them. They went into Bavel, Shekhinah came with them. The Gemara says, first they went into Mitzrayim, the Shekhinah was with them. They went into Bavel, the Shekhinah was with them. Those are the two examples the Gemara gives. It's not surprising who's the man da'omer of this statement in Megillah Chavtesa Aleph, Rishon Baruch Hai, right? Always expressing love. He says, look how much Hashem loves you. He came into Galus with you. That's the imagery of the Kruvim, I think, clutching one another. HaKadosh Baruch Hu came into Galus with us. B'chol tzarasim lo tzar, as the Pasuk says. Or imo anochi b'tzara, as the Pasuk in Tehillim says. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always with us in all of our suffering. And the Gemara says that when we come back to the Geula, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to come with us because He's with us in the Galus. He's sitting with us. He's by our side. He's our friend. He's with us. He's commiserating with us. He's suffering with us. Right? He's trying to end this with us. And when the Geula comes, the Pasuk says, V'shav Hashem Elokecha Eis Shvuscha. It doesn't say V'heshiv. It says V'shav, the Gemara says. V'shav means He comes back with us. Not V'heshiv is going to bring us back, that He was always there. He's with us in Galus, and He wants to come back with us. Kadosh Baruch Hu is coming back with us. Kadosh Baruch Hu is our friend, and He's sitting with us in Galus. I'll tell you a beautiful remez that I thought of that Kadosh Baruch Hu gave me last week. One of the 48 Kinyanim Torah, one of the 48 ways that Jews acquires Torah is to be Nosei Ba'olim Chaveiro. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Chaveiro. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Nosei Ba'olim Chaveiro. That's what this Gemara in Megillah is telling us. That when we're in Galus, Hashem is with us in Galus. The Gematria of Nosei Ba'olim Chaveiro is 801. It's exactly the same as the Gematria that Kadosh Baruch Hu says, Anochi Eiredim Chametzraim. That's when HaKadosh Baruch Hu says there's going to be galus, but don't worry, I'm going to go with you. I'll be with you every step of the way. Anochi Eiredim Chametzraim is Gematria Nosei Ba'olim Chaveiro. Because that's the shorish. Why is one of the Kinyanei Torah that a Jew has to commiserate with his fellow Jew? Because that's part of Halachta B'drachah. That's what Hashem does with us every step of the way throughout galus. So we have to see ourselves as clutching HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as holding on to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yes, even in galus, even in that lowest moment, to feel that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is still holding on to us. To be able to, let's go back to the words of the Kajitzer Magid. The Kasher is a Magid said, because you could be facing a Kodesh Baruch Hu, you could be saying Baruch Atta, and you don't really mean it. He's emphasizing the fact that what? That a Jew can use that magic word Atta to say you. You don't say you to a Rav, right? You say, does the Rebbe, does the Rav, right? Would the Rav mind if, right? Would the Rebbe be able to, right? You speak in the third person. To a Kodesh Baruch Hu, we say Atta. It's a chutzpah. You? I don't say you, right? Well, I don't speak to my parent, you. Right? We use some type of something, a title, right? Even if it's just mom or dad, right? But I don't say you. I speak to a hush of a person. I don't call them by their name, right? I don't even say Rabbi So, Rabbi Schwartz. I say, would the Rav, you know, like a glass of water. I speak to the person with such reverence that I pull back. And yet to Hashem I say you. Because that's the Rebbe. Piyaz Etzner Rebbe writes, you have it here in source 12. The Piyaz Etzner Rebbe says, what a bracha that is. What a chesed that is, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows us to say you. And therefore, what a tragedy it is when I spend so many times throughout the day saying Baruch Ata, from the coffee I start my day with, to the Shemona Esrei that I daven, to the Asher Yotzer that I recite, to the Shahakal that I make, right? To everything that I do throughout the day. Every time I make a bracha, and I say Baruch Ata, it's an opportunity to be makai in the words of the Mesilas Yesharim, kasher yadaber isha re'eyu, panim l'panim, to vin ahafach the anuchi aster, or as the Navi was describing, right, to turn our face back towards the Kadosh Baruch, to be able to say Baruch Ata, because you can say Baruch Ata your whole life, right, which is an expression of unbelievable closeness, and you can be so far away from a Kadosh Baruch. Says the Kozhnitzer Magid in source number 11, he's explaining by Pesach Sheni, how, what does it mean for a person to be far away? He's out of town, he's not able to bring the Pesach Sheni because he's Bederach Rechoka. How far away does he have to be? Rashi says there's a dot on the word Rechoka because he can even be standing Chutz Me'askupas Ha'azara. He's a step outside the Beis HaMikdash. That's Rechoka. Says the Kozhnitz from Magid in source number 11, Ratzalomar, Shaya Rechok Me'Hashem Yisparach. Yes. You could be standing on the threshold of the Beis HaMikdash, which is where we're standing in time right now, and you could still be very far away. You could be so close. We could have such an opportunity with each passing year to finally get this right. And we're still not doing it. We're still not doing it. We're still mibachutz. We're still not talking to a Kodesh Baruch Hu the way we're supposed to. And therefore the galus drags on, and it drags on, and it drags on. And every time we say Atta, it's a chutzpah. Because if you're not going to say Atta like a friend, you have no right to say Atta. It's a chesed that Hashem gives us the opportunity to be His friend. Right now, we shouldn't feel like we can be buddies with Hashem. Hashem says, no, I want to be your buddy. I want to be your friend. I want to talk panim el panim. I want to talk for real. About your tzaras, which are my tzaras, which are Klal Yisrael's tzaras, which is Chorban Beis HaMikdash, I want to talk about this galus for real. And until we do that, this is just going to keep going. So, are we going to work on it's an avodah, it's a simple avodah, has to be makabel upon ourselves for these days. Baruch Ata Hashem. My Shmona Esrei has been a lot better this past week, since I learned this piece of Kozhnitzer Magid in Parshas Maaseh. And again, it's the same phrase he uses in Maaseh and in Pesach Sheni, that you could be saying Baruch Ata and you're so far from Hashem. If you don't say Baruch Ata and mean it, it's a chutzpah. I brought along one other sefer tonight, the Ohel Hashem, quoted from quite a few people who died al Kiddush Hashem. Right? We quoted from the Bava Rebbe who died al Kiddush Hashem. We quoted from Rav Shimshon Astropoli. We quoted from the Piyaz Etzner Rebbe. Here's one more. The Ohel Hashem of Shem Klingberg died at the hands of the Nazis, Yimach Shemam. He was gunned down. Now, I've done with the Sefer, it tells about his final days, how he was killed, and he went in 1943. And he said, I should be a kapar for Klal Yisrael. It's a very, very deep Sefer. He had hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of pages of Chidushei Torah, all destroyed by the Nazis. We have a tiny, tiny little Sefer that I have here. It's a very, very deep Sefer. Mamish, the beginning of the Sefer, Parshas Bereishis, page 21 and 22. He says, we know that a person, and it goes back to the pasuk we started with, Pnu lachem tzafona, turn in, turn inward. He said that there was a time in Jewish history, which again, wasn't necessarily a good thing, but pnimius, it's a good thing, that they set up a guard at the entrance of the Beis HaMedrash, and they said, anyone who's not tochel kabaro is not invited into the Beis HaMedrash. If your insides and your outsides don't line up, then you're not invited into the Beis HaMedrash. And again, the Gemara in Brachos in the fourth paragraph is critical. That wasn't such a good system. It drove people away from Torah. But obviously, there's something to it. to wanting to be a Jew through and through, on the inside and on the outside, not to be a superficial Jew who keeps going around the horror of Galus, right, to turn inwards. So he quotes here from the Sefer Osios Derbi Yitzchak. He says, why did Chazal use the phrase Tocho Kabaro, not Baro Ketocho? Tocho Kabaro, my inside should parallel my outside. Why not the opposite? Why not say Baro Ketocho, my outside should be like my inside? So he says it's very simple. He says, because Tocho, look at the inside of Tocho. Tocho means inside. So look at the inside of the word Tocho. What's the inside of the word Tocho? What are the two letters on the inside of the word Tocho? Chaf and Vav, which is 26 is Hashem's name, Yud Kei Vav Kei. Look at the outside of Kivaro, Tocho Kivaro. Look at the Kivaro of Baro, right? The, again, Chaf and Vav. So I have to be as real with Hashem on the inside. Tocho, the Chaf Vav, Yud Kei Vav Kei, 26 on the inside, like 26 on the outside. That's how I have to be with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, Tocho Kivaro. Then he says the following. He says, Tocho Kivaro is Gematria 660, which is Gematria Seser, which he uses, he explains what that means. But then he says, on the next page, he says, Tocho Kabaro is also Gematria Baruch Atasha. Baruch Atasha. Tocho Kabaro 660 is the same Gematria as Baruch Atasha. So, I would like to now try to put together this piece of Ohel Hashem with the Kajos HaMagid to try to conclude. One of the Pesukim that we say in the Tochacha, one of the Pesukim they have in the second to last source, Arur Maki Re'eu B'Seser, Amr Kola Amamin. Cursed is the person, a life of Klala, Galus, Klala, for the person who's Maki Re'eu, who strikes his friend B'Seser. Says the Ohel Hashem, Seser, right, 660, is Gematria Baruch Atah Hashem. And who's this Re'eu that the Pesuk is talking about? It's not your neighbor, it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Re'achav Re'al Vicha Al Pazov. So therefore, cursed is the person that every time you open your mouth and you say Baruch Atah Hashem, you're slapping Kodesh Baruch in the face. Because Hashem says, you don't really believe Baruch Atah Hashem. You don't say Atah Kasher Yadav Isha Re'eu. You might be standing in shul, right? You might be sitting on the floor on Tisha B'Av, and you've got the non-leather shoes, and you're fasting, and you're hungry, and you've got a headache. And Hashem says, that's all nice, but that's all Kabaro. That's all on the outside. Pnu Lachem Tzfona, what's going on the inside? Is this for real? Are you ready to say Baruch Atah Hashem? Are you ready to say Ani Mamin, that I believe in Mashiach and I really want this because I can't handle the galus anymore? Because God forbid, if I can't Arur Maki Re'eu B'Seser, that your Seser, your Baruch Atah Hashem, Gematria Seser, is not Tocho Kabaro. And that insults our dearest friend, our best friend, which is the Kodesh Baruch Hu himself. So I leave with the final source, the words of the Chafetz Chaim. The Chafetz Chaim used to say, there's a machlokas we show him how to translate the word Baruch. How do you translate the word Baruch? Does it mean that Hashem is the source of all bracha? Am I giving a bracha to Hashem? You should be blessed, Hashem. The Chafetz Chaim said, it's true, there's a machlokas we show him how to translate the word Baruch. You look at the Avud Raham and his Peirush on Tefillah, and he gives you different explanations of how to translate the word Baruch. He says, the Chafetz Chaim said, but there's no machlokas how to translate the word Atah. There's only one way to translate Atah. Atah means you. And like the Piyaz Esther Rebbe said, to say you to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, that's a big thing. Rav Gifter once asked this Talmidim, he said, when you say the Bracha of Shahakal, what's the most important word? So one student said, it's Shahakal, one said, Niyeh, Bitvaro. Everyone had a different explanation. Rav Gifter said, I tricked you. One of the Talmidim, 65 years later, he said, I remembered this teaching from my Rebbe, from Rav Gifter. Then my Rebbe said, the most important word when you say Shahakal, the Bracha of Shahakal, is the word Atah. You say Atah to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, because that means you're real. That means you're not going to say, with the Rabbanu Shalom in mind, if you brought the Geula, no, don't give, Hashem says, don't give me those formalities. Talk straight. You want Mashiach? So tell me you want Mashiach. Cry over it. Like it's something that you really care about. And if you say it like you mean it, then Kodesh Baruch Hu says, I'll give you the Geula. So I'll leave you with one final story. It's a great story. I shared it with Shalash this a couple weeks ago. In Tsarist Russia, the Minister of Education was trying to mingle in the yeshivas. So all the Gedolim got nervous, and they called a big meeting, and they got together, and they said, what are we going to do? We have to keep the enemies out of the yeshivas. They're coming up with different plans, different tzaddikim, different Gedolim, coming up with a plan, how are we going to convince the Russian government to leave us alone? So one of the Gedolim got up there, and he said, you know, if we would just take the words of Ava Rava, and we would translate it into the Russian language, and we would recite it passionately before, you know, before the Russian government, before the Minister of Education and his cohorts, right? And they would hear how much Torah, how precious Torah is to us. He says, then I feel like they would just move out on this gezeira. When they understood this, not just some ancient text, if they understood how deeply connected our lives are to this world of Torah, then they would leave our schools alone, they'd leave our yeshivas alone. Nice suggestion. So Itzel Petterberger, Yitzhak Blaser, Talmud of Yisrael Salanter, got up. And he said, "Mechilas Kvod the Rav who just spoke." He said, "It's a nice idea." He says, "But I have a better idea." He says, "What if we got up in front of our yeshivas, and we got up in front of our shuls, and we translated Abba Rabba to ourselves, and we actually believe what we were saying?" He says, "Then I'm positive." He says, "Your approach, maybe yes, maybe no, maybe, you know, you'll warm their frozen Russian hearts, I don't know." He says, "But I promise you that if we got up and we actually started believing in the words of Abba Rabba, if we would start believing in Abba Solom Kiyem Chayenu V'Erech Emenu," which those of us who didn't have Maravit will have the opportunity to do in a couple of minutes. Yeah, if we would do that for real, he says, then they would leave us alone. If we practice what we would preach, if our Baruch Atah Hashem was real, then a Kodesh Baruch would bring the Gula. So Mirtz Hashem, we should listen to the words of the Torah in this week's Parsha. Pnu Lachem Tzvona. Stop being so superficial about this. Stop with the formalities. Right, stop turning your back on Hashem and relying on our Shemesh Master Poli to come with a var to show you how even when Hester, a double Hester upon him is really a brach in disguise. Just let's be much more straight. Let's say Baruch Atah Hashem. Let's say you, Hashem, you, our God, our Father, and our friend. We need you. We need the Gula. And if we could say that be'emes, if we could say that mamish be'emes uvelev shalim, then Amir Hashem will be zochet to turn these days into tremendous days of simcha with the Gula Hashem of the Arabim.
Amen.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Very much.
Beautiful. And
amen.
Not like George.
Yeah.
Not that I have anything against late George.
Shai, shai, now, shai, now.